What king? Somebody else read it. I'm not doing too well. Read Bruce.
What king going to make war against another king should not down first and consult whether he be able to meet with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000?
All right. The idea that believers are in a warfare is throughout the Bible. I was thinking about this group that's whatever it is, ISIS. But they've done this thing. What they've done is they penetrated the society. They recruit from the poor and needy. No entanglements with any other system. No home, no career. And if you read the scriptures, which we will today, about what we are not residents of this earth. We are, in effect, an alien society that's penetrating, or we are to penetrate that society and recruit from the poor. Now, the problem is that this was the whole message of the first century church. And we'll read these scriptures in a minute. But the problem is that the church has been co-opted by society. And so now it's as if they were of this world, and all of the things, and I was watching these Christian groups yesterday involved in politics and trying to take over school districts and, you know, the whole nine yards. And it's sad, because that's the antithesis of what we are called to do. So let's start. Let's go and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Does anybody have any response to any of this yet?
Yeah, the ISIS are quite an example.
Yeah.
It's devotion. I'm sure they have some ceremony of your life is over. Here's your new life or something like that.
Well, they kill anybody who doesn't. They end up 30 or 40.
Well, no, it was 150 the last couple of days. Policemen and soldiers. They're just brutal.
Some women and children.
Yeah.
So that's where they work.
But I'm not saying we should do that. But I'm saying we should be in a position that's different than what it is for most of us. But anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that it might please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man strive for mastery, yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, that's the idea. You get the idea. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Well, we're already there. Verse 3, we missed that. Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hardness means difficulties. You don't concern yourself with making your life comfortable. Then go down to verse... let's just continue reading. Let's go to verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also... That they may, I can't see. Go ahead and read that chapter, verse 10. I'll tell you what, just start, read from 3 to 10.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man at war hath entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ to the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
Go ahead and read through 13.
It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself.
All right. So again, the denial of self, avoiding entanglements, enduring hardships. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians now, chapter 5. Go back to the right a couple pages. Well, more than a couple. Not the right, the left, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yeah, start in 1, go to go through verse 6.
But in the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they not escape, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the light, nor of darkness. Excuse me, night or darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Here, sober doesn't mean don't drink. It's again one of these words that means right thinking. That's another story. I don't want to get entangled with that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Yeah, just read one verse, chapter 16, verse 13.
I can do that. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit, you like men. Be strong.
Quit, you like men. Quit, you like a member of the human race. We are no longer of this world. Remember, Moses said, we are strangers in a strange land. One of the interesting translations of that is we are aliens in a bizarre land. We have no home. We have no home in this world. We are not entangled with the affairs of this life in any way. This is what this is calling us for. All right, one more. Two more. Go to Ephesians 6. Starting verse 10, read 10 through 18. Somebody.
Finally,
there you go.
My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What did you say?
Through 18.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
All right, so what did Paul and Barnabas and Peter and all the rest of the disciples do? Wherever they went, they penetrated that society. They recruited from the poor and the needy. They had no entanglements with this world. They had no home, no career. Now, you can see why there's a difference between, in the modern church, between just believers and disciples. But there is never a difference in the scriptures. There's only disciples. Otherwise, you're going to be constantly pulled away from the mystery of God by the entanglements of this life. We've talked many, many times about the sheep gets lost one blade of grass at a time, and before you know it, there's no difference between you and a Gentile, except you've got Christ's name on your flesh.
Isn't that the essence of our warfare in this time, in this framework we live in? The warfare of not letting the entanglements entangle you. You're in it, but you're not of it.
But there's also the recruit. You recruit from the... You don't have any kind of entanglements. You have no home, no career, no life in this world. This is what the scriptures say. This is what how the first century church exploded. As opposed to what the Jews did. The Jews created a society in which they were comfortable. And for that reason, God destroyed them. His right arm has gotten him the victory. But the victory has to be manifested in us. What's your responsibility?
It's already happened. It's finished. Our responsibility is if anything, seeing it.
No, our responsibility is always repentance. Never stops. But if we repent of something and continue doing it, then we're fools. Otherwise, there's no difference.
Is Gary entangled when he's fulfilling his responsibilities to his wife and his family and the community?
That's where the tire meets the road. That's why it says, no man cometh to him unless he hate his mother and father, sister, brother, wife, and children, and his own life also. Because it's not any longer, it's a different universe. It's a different being. We are not of this world in any way. We see them only as brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't see people as the labels. We don't, as long as there's responsibility, there can't be love. As long as there's obligation, there is no love. That's the whole mystery of God. It's all about Him. It's not about us in any way. But that what the world has done is they put Jesus Christ's name on their life, and then they live in idolatry. Above all things, my brethren, flee idolatry. I mean, the scriptures we just read. Avoid entanglements. Deny self. Endure hardships. Have on the armor, the full armor. And penetrate the society. Recruit from the poor and needy. Always keeping in mind that you're not part of this world. No entanglements, no home, no career. What's your response?
My real response? I think there's something else going on.
Find me the scriptures.
I think I told you a minute ago, we're talking about warfare. That was my response, was about the warfare that is engaged in this time. You don't qualify. You don't do these things.
What don't I do?
You only do what comes into your kingdom here.
That's how. How did we begin then?
Everybody went to Bible study.
Well, we began because, in effect, I was recruiting from the poor and needy. That's the whole purpose of me being on the radio.
So then we should disband.
Hmm?
Well, the issue is, as you go into your world, you recruit from the poor and needy. That's the manifestation of it. That's how there's reproduction.
I think the only way I can respond to that is, you know, I believe God adds to the church. And now,
but He has to use people.
Well, then we're here to be used. We have made these commitments. We have been baptized. We have seen. We have repented. We have done the things.
And do we announce to the world, to our world, that all flesh is as grass?
Well, no.
Why not?
We don't announce that. Because that's a cliche.
No, it's not a cliche. It's the only hope.
Okay, Pete does.
Why?
But what else do you do?
It's not a matter of meeting. It's a matter of repenting. If you don't, then it's God's business.
Well, then that's where we're at. But you're not. But you're preaching a little condemnation about in this. There's a tone of that.
I'm just repeating what the scriptures say.
Yeah, I didn't hear any condemnation.
Where is the condemnation?
Because if we're not doing it, we're doing something wrong. We need to straighten up.
Jeff said, is Gary doing this? And then I think you responded like, whether you're doing it or not, rather than seeing, maybe you're doing it in part, maybe not, I don't know, but rather than seeing that in part, the place where you're not doing it, then Father forgive me and move on and be, live and be. But I invite people to come here. I invited Fernando, Francisco, some come, very few come, very few that I've invited to come. And but it's not a place where I say, okay, I defend myself and say, okay, I'm not doing it and I don't have to do it. It's where I'm not doing it, and I say, Father, forgive me. But I say, if I'm not doing it, in all the places where, it was kind of weird for Jeff to say, is Gary doing this, rather than say, am I doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was probably a spontaneous question. I wasn't singling you out, I was just
singling
blending.
You.
Well, of blending what Oli's saying and then all that you deal with every day.
Yeah,
which would be different from what I deal with, and what Pete deals with.
From the preaching, I'm doing it wrong. Now, if I'm going to do it right, I've got to sell my house, get rid of my wife, go out and tell everybody all the places it's rest. I mean, there's something deeper here that's.
I'm just telling you what the first century church did.
Okay.
The question is, is that what we're called to do? That's the only model we have for a church is the first century. We have no other model.
Paul said, I carry, other apostles to leave about wife. I mean, the scriptures don't say, go leave your wife.
I mean, the others,
but maybe he did.
Obviously, they don't say to everybody, sell all you have, but the point of it was nothing they had was their own. You forsake all.
And that's an internal transaction. You forsake it, and you cut attachments to it.
Well,
how else?
It's tested by if brethren have a need. That's the whole meaning of why that happens. That's why those that have riches, according to the scriptures, then you communicate with those in need. That's the whole, it's not a matter of, I'm not proclaiming that you should go sell your house and divorce your wife. That's ridiculous.
But that's what the scriptures are saying.
Well, that's the way you read it. That's the way you heard it and why you said there was condemnation in me. I wasn't condemning anyone. I was telling you what the scriptures say about warfare. That we are not to be entangled with this life.
And I responded to that. I think that's where the warfare is. Nobody's shooting each other. What is the exact warfare that you're relating to?
The warfare is to flee idolatry. The warfare is always to let every person that you know who you are and what you believe. And it comes as natural as breathing. And many will come, but most will run away. Now, from again, we can't ignore these scriptures, is what I'm saying. You can't just say, well, that was for another time, or that was for the first century church. You've got to come to terms with them internally without dancing. Unless you believe that there's disciples and there's Christians. If you believe that you're not a disciple, but you're a believer, then I think there's another problem. Because that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say make disciples. So again, the cost of discipleship is everything. The cost of being a believer is nothing.
Is there a different place in heaven for a disciple and a believer?
There isn't. That's what I'm saying. I don't see any. There's no. We're all called to be disciples. And each one of us has to struggle with these things. For me, it was I gave up everything. That's, you know, I'm not saying I did anything right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just saying that's what I did. I walked away from everything. I forsook everything. But the whole idea of, I'm not going to stand here and tell you, okay, you go sell your house and blah, 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 whatever. That's not my business. My business is to have you have an honest response to the preaching.
I did.
But is it resolved in you?
Seeing when that's trying to happen and turning from it, letting it go. And if that's not true, then I don't know how to hear this scripture.
Well, it's true, but the scriptures assume that the majority of the issues that you're talking about were dealt with at baptism. You accepted your death.
Yeah.
And you saw the vanity and futility of all things. So then I don't understand how their entanglements can be there then. If you've seen the emptiness and futility of it. If you did, then there has to be repentance. But don't forget the efficacy of baptism. That's why it's the most important of all the so-called rites of a believer, because it's your burial.
Okay, that takes place.
And then your warfare becomes external. Your warfare becomes what happens. You're no longer in an internal fight. You are every once in a while, but your main warfare is the fruit of revealing who you are. And then everything comes against you. Not because, you know, it comes against you because it threatens every kind of relationship, every job, every person that works for you. It threatens everybody if they knew who you were. And it's your job to reveal who you are. All of us, not just you, it's all of our job. I don't know of anybody that I know that doesn't know who I am. And a great many of them think I'm nuts. But and many of them, as you well know, become mortal enemies. You can't... the real warfare isn't, the warfare that we're talking about here isn't the internal warfare. The warfare that we're talking about here is bearing his reproach outside the camp. This is the camp, but you bear his reproach outside the camp. And the only way you can bear his reproach outside the camp is by revealing who you are. I'm not asking you to jump through any hoops. I'm asking you to let everybody know who you are.
Well, I don't preach to everybody.
Well,
I talk when it's right, when it's appropriate, when it happens, when people have an interest. I'm not a street preacher.
No, nor am I.
Right. So it happens.
But I can't believe that you can have a conversation about anything with anybody without revealing who you are.
Well, that's so agendized. That's an agenda.
No, it isn't.
Well, yes,
it's the fruit. It's the fruit of the cross.
Then if there's fruit, it will come out.
Right.
You don't make fruit grow.
Right. The only way it grows is by repentance.
All right.
And so all I'm asking you to do, if that's not what you're doing, if the people in your world don't know who you are, then I'm asking you to reveal it. I'm not asking you, the scriptures are. And it's not a minor deal, it's a huge deal. And that's the only thing that I would ask anybody to copy in me is my faith. And that faith is expressed at every opportunity. Again, I'm not talking about going out in the streets, but it's certainly expressed in everybody that I've talked to knows who I am. Whether it's I spent all day with talking to producers in New York. Well, they know who I am. Half the time they're not too sure about me. But the point of it is, this is what we do. We are lights in this world of darkness. We are revealing that light, which is Christ alone. And that revelation we have to be in agreement with that so that we say the same things, because we've heard the same things, because we've seen the same things as Christ. Therefore, we confess him. Remember, it's homologio, saying the same thing. And it's exciting. And, you know, I know you well enough, Gary, to know that's what you want.
So either I have a little sense of the spirit that resides in me, and I spent 2 hours with a customer the other day, and that's all we talked about. And so it's a lot like I'm silent in my world, and I don't maybe sound like it the way I'm talking. But
well, again, that's all I'm saying is if the things we've studied this morning are not manifest, I'm doing is not to try to justify it, but to repent and leave the rest to God.
I think the conversation really started with this, what the warfare is. You say it's outside, I experience it inside.
But you bear his reproach outside the camp. That's...
Well, how does that fit in?
That's what it means.
So then nothing internal is happening or should be happening.
But it should happen. It should be very rare once you've been baptized.
that's the opposite of what it is.
No, it's not the opposite.
Not experiencing internal struggle.
Pardon?
Does anybody here not experience the struggle internally with these things we read and study and seek after?
Well, but it's not. It's not the. I live in repentance. That's all I do. So, and my mind is tempted to start thinking about something, then it's like, Father, forgive me.
I think part of this struggle that you say you don't experience or you repent if it starts is the food that brings about prayer or repentance. Because otherwise there's nothing to repent of. If there's nothing going on in you,
because you, but repentance became a way of life. It isn't.
But isn't repentance internal? It's not external.
Oh.
You challenge me on that, and this is my response. Because my world happens in both realms. And there's a lot of struggle. It's not even a struggle for me nowadays. It's a seeing of what's trying to grip me, and a rejection, a turning away from it, denying it, not wanting to let it have its way with me. That to me is the struggle, the warfare. And
yeah, I'm aware that that's a place where we are different. I'm saying that the scriptures assume that for the most part, if you will, that was dealt with at baptism, because it's dealt with seeing that your mind is empty and vain and fruitless. That's what we studied yesterday about the meaning of that kino, where it says empty. The other places, you remember, it was translated as vain, useless, empty, without value. And what if you, the struggle can't be there if you know that the mind is without value. It's only from my perspective, it's only when I'm tempted to use my mind to do something that I think is necessary. And then I say, Father, forgive me.
How about meeting payroll?
Huh?
What do you do about payroll?
For the last 2 years, I've met it. Out of whatever left I had of the money I'd saved. For the most part.
You attribute that to God?
Huh?
Is that God working with you through you to cause this to happen?
Well, I have no idea. It's a what is. I've tried to raise the funds that are necessary. It hasn't worked. But I mean, it's not an issue with me. It's a what? I mean, I don't care if I don't have any money or not. But anyway, these things, all I'm asking everybody to do is not dance. And if something is said today, I believe this is what the preaching of the cross is. To avoid entanglements with the world, to bear his reproach outside the camp, to always have on the full armor of God, you know, the whole nine yards we just talked about.
Dancing implies there's an inconsistency between words and deeds.
Well, to me, dancing is when you justify rebellion. Instead of repenting.
And this entanglement thing, I'm finding, I keep saying I, but my repentance, before I came here, I just would say I'm sorry, or where now I do repent. I'd probably say daily, sometimes more than once a day. For me, that's quite a change for me. But there's this repentance that frees me, and the entanglements not to be entangled by them because I repent. And I guess repentance is manifested by, I still do it, but there's less of emotionally reacting to things, less intellectualizing, less trying to solve the problems or assign blame, and repent and not become entangled in the entanglements that are part of daily life, which just eat away at me and just basically waste joy and peace. I don't know if that makes one.
Well, again, the bottom line that all these things have as their weapon or as their is your mind. And as long as you believe and think your mind has value and purpose, then entanglements will happen.
I struggle with that. I struggle that intellectually I've got something to offer. And I...
Well, do you have any witnesses? But the point, they come from the same place.
I know.
And so if you can't, you know.
So I rebel.
You think there's some good in you. All right, take a big guy. That's not good.